Hi there. Welcome to the Flight Risk Podcast Studio. And I am your host, Robert Bruton. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. And I appreciate it. It is April 1st, 2024. So happy April Fools. And I've never really been somebody that, I mean, sometimes it's funny. I read this stuff, but I never really got into the whole April Fools thing. I've seen some funny ones today. So it's made me laugh, and that was kind of cool. So, you know, something that hit me yesterday on Easter Sunday, and maybe over the last, I don't know, good while, you know, when you look at, I was sitting there analyzing our, social media, and I was, I watching, got anything from YouTube Shorts, TikToks, even X, and I'm sitting there going, there's a few accounts that really focus on good things, but there's so much just negative shit out there. So I started yesterday, I made it a deal where every hour on the hour on our Twitter feed or X, we put a happy picture and just put the hashtag happiness. And I got, it's like I've said in my books and in previous shows, is that you got to start somewhere. The whole it's like a peace process for war. Well, they did this to us, they did that to them, okay, yes, all of that happened, and it is horrific, because there is nothing other than horrific about a war or a skirmish, where the hell you want to call it. There is nothing pretty about that, nothing at all that comes from it, that other than devastation and destruction. If you don't believe that, ask a Gold Star family. And so I was sitting there going, there needs to be something, there needs to be a start. So I am not working from some naivete that I don't understand the world, because I've been around a while, so I do, but I figure that at some point in time we have to really begin to pray for peace, hope, and we have to come together. We, there are so many forces out there trying to divide us as a nation. We all seem to come together after 9/11, which was this one of the saddest days in our history, if not the saddest day in our history, because I do remember Pearl Harbor, and I don't personally remember Pearl Harbor, I'm not that old. But, there are events in our World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, all of the wars, there comes a point where there has to be a beginning. There has to be a start. And so, everybody's saying we need to do this and we need to do that and all of these things, I agree with those who say there needs to be a ceasefire, there needs to be a stop, because here's the skinny, is if we don't begin to talk, I'm not saying that people don't have their right to defend themselves at all. What I'm saying is how many of your own people are going to have to die and before we say humanity needs to stop for a second and think about things and think about, it's families who suffer, not governments. Families suffer because they're fathers, daughters, sons, brothers, sisters, cousins, you name it, And if those family become Gold Star families, they pay the ultimate price. And it seems to me like our job would be to promote some sort of peace no matter what. There should always be some, you know, form of peace being discussed instead of us ravagely killing each other. And one of the things that I have written about as well and talked about even here was, you know, what if we took all the brain power that we have that creates, you know, total devastation, or we can kill a person with greater efficiency, or, you know, and we have all these laser guided bombs and all these things, which, you know, I realize that obviously because it gets used, we have to have, but, you know, when we're not at war, you know, why don't we turn our attention towards making technology that actually could be monetized? You know, it could be things that could be, you know, because big corporations are going to say, well, you know, when you think about it, if you have a missile company and there's no war, what you going to do? So that lends itself to a very nefarious outcome, you know, because if they're not selling missiles, then what are they doing? So, you know, it appears to me that, you know, you got a lot of really strong brain power in that. You know, I always said after the Oppenheimer movie came out, I said, what if you had taken all of those men and said, you know what, you need to create a society where we don't kill each other, where we learn to live and work, you know, make the battlefield business, you know, instead of killing people, go out there and become competitive in the marketplace. But what if you had taken all of that brain power and used it for good instead of building something that completely destroys our planet? And then how can you sit there and even begin to think that that's something to applaud? At some point in time, yes, I guess it did, you know, it did stop a war. But at what cost? So my question remains, if you had taken all that brain power and could figure out how to bring about peace and bring about collaboration and things like that, how to, you know, do things together, and so, you know, it's amazing to me how, you know, all you really see is, and I fall right into the trap, and that's one of the things I think over the weekend that I had some time. I spent some time with friends. We barbecued, had a nice, you know, a nice time. You know, I was with a really incredible family, because I didn't have any family here to celebrate with. So, and my mom got to feeling sick, so she wanted to stay in, or I would have driven down to see her, and she just didn't feel up to getting out. So I was batching it on my own the day before yesterday, actually. And but I ended up having a terrific time. So it really got me to thinking, you know, while I was watching all of, I mean, it's a huge family. I mean, they had like a small circus tent, you know, and cooked, I don't know how many racks of ribs and how many briskets, but it was a lot. And anyhow, I got to thinking, you know, and I was like, damn, man, this is what everybody should be, you know, this is how America is supposed to be. And so I made a bunch of I took a bunch of just happy pictures and posted them and made sure one went every hour, and just put the hashtag happiness, because it seems like we're spiraling we're getting to that point where it's almost out of control. You know, almost out of control. You know, and some of the things that are happening are really just fucking mean. And it's disgusting. So you know, some things that I wrote in an article that I posted on Medium, called Uniting as a Nation, Overcoming Divisive Narratives, you know? And, you know, the power of mainstream narratives, you know, ones that mainstream media are pushing on us, you know, you really, honestly, I don't give a shit what side of the fence you are. I don't care if you're a CNN devotee or a Fox devotee. It doesn't matter. Okay? Does not matter. But the narratives that are being pushed is to the point where we have irreconcilable divide between Americans. And I think, you know, and it goes back to, you know, we're all on the same side. We're Americans. We're supposed to be on the same side. You know, we're supposed to have a diverse culture because, you know, it's what the founding fathers envisioned, you know? And there's so many broke things, you know? The Statue of Liberty doesn't say, you know, it says, give us your hungry and, you know, huddled masses and yada yada. And I'm with that, but let's not, you know, they're gonna let all the people that stormed and the fences in El Paso and got in a conflict with the National Guard, they're letting those people go with no bail. Explain to me on any level how that's right. Now, having said that, before everybody starts getting pissed off and say, how can you know, hurt migrants? It's not hurting migrants. Migrants tried to hurt us. But if there was a good way to bring everybody that wants to come and wants to come legitimately, and we're not getting, you know, they're not flushing the prison toilet and emptying it into our country, that'd be just like us. If we went to all our prisons, got all our prisoners, and said, guess what? Y'all are going to be Mexicans now. And we shipped them all to Mexico. How long do you think that's going to... Not very fair to a neighbor. Or we took them all to Canada. Hey, come on, get out of the prison. We're taking you to Canada. Yeah, beautiful mountains and, you know, be able to be, you know, out in God's country, out in the wilderness. Not very good to your neighbors, is it? Or if you sent them all to Ecuador, Honduras, Colombia, you know, it's not really most Americans couldn't fathom that, yet we're willing to accept it from other, you know, countries that don't give two shits and would rather have their prisons emptied and put in our country versus their own. So before you start flying off the handle, I am very much pro-immigration. My son is half Colombian. I've said that many, many times. His mother sought political asylum in this country 20-odd years ago. But she did it the right way. She came and she applied and she did all the things that was asked of her. Now, I agree that system was so broken it took her years to do it, but she did it. And she doesn't have to worry about that being revoked or worry about, you know, unless she did something horribly wrong, which she's a good person, so she's not, you know. And that worked. Again, molasses slow process, but it worked. So, you know, it really kind of begs the question, is do we stop and say, wait, you know, hold on, everybody, time out, you know? And so really what I'm trying to say, because I need to get back to the point of what our show is really about, which is about bringing a better me and you to the world, is, and not making this a, you know, some sort of political ideology or anything else, because what does happen is we are dividing. We are, you know, so it really begs the question is why? Why are we all being divided? Because think about it, you know, on one side of the fence, the other side of the fence are demons, and vice versa. And we're not. You're not. You know, and there's a lot of issues that we have to learn to overcome, you know. And I would suggest or say that, you know, a ultimatum's not really a good way to do things. Education is. So before you tell me I have to do something or I'm some sort of demon, why don't you educate me on what, you know, I don't see anybody standing there, and maybe I'm seeing the wrong thing, but all I ever see is division on college campuses, you know, and places where people are going, you just assumed my gender. And I'm like, okay, sorry. Tell me, you know, but educate me on why, on the why. Why do you feel, you know, pansexual? Why do you feel homosexual? Or, you know, I have homosexual friends. And the thing about it is that they've never asked me to describe them any other way than just as a friend. And they are. And they look at me as a friend. I'm not homosexual. Don't subscribe to that lifestyle. But I do have very good and dear friends that are. But we don't look at each other that way. Same thing with the diverse amount of people that I work with, that I know, and that are friends, whether it's business acquaintances, friends, or close friends. We don't look at each other that way. We don't sit here and tell each other, you know, anything other than, hey, what's going on? Oh, I'm just at the house chilling. What are you up to? You know, and it never is anything other than a nice conversation, something cool. And we hug each other, we love each other. And that's what makes life fun. So how does this affect me and you? Well, when you dump enough bullshit into your head, you know, then you start believing it. I start feeling myself drifting off into a place I don't want to be. I don't want to be around angry ass people. I don't want to be around people that are screaming. So that's when we get into what I've written about and talked about is, you know, critical thinking. You know, there are people that you are going to have, you're going to be like two bulls the same size. You're going to knock horns, and neither one of you is going to be able to move the other. So at that point, how do you fix that? You know, and my thought yesterday was, well, we all have to start somewhere. So I started posting happy pictures with a hashtag happiness. And I actually have written a couple of articles and posted those on, you know, well, this one, Uniting as a Nation, Overcoming Divisive Narratives, you know. And it just, because, shit, we got to start somewhere. You know, learn to seek out diverse perspectives. Learn to understand what people are going through. You know, engage in respectful dialogue. Fuck you is not a response, nor, well, it is a response, but it's not something that I'm going to, or I think any sane human being is going to react anything other than, well, fuck you too, you know? And that solves nothing. Absolutely nothing. And there are issues that divide us completely, and I understand that, you know? And this is really, really hard. So if you're just kind of a person that, you know, says, you know, well, I'll do what I can. I think we all have to do what we can. You know, for me, I wouldn't, at this point, set foot on a college campus. I can't think of one that's not, you know, where there's just not so much hate being spewed out. And I'm sitting there going, but why? I realize that, you know, the world is a messed up place. The government is screwed up. Yeah, no, we all get that. But is yelling and screaming at each other and burning shit down going to make a difference? Probably not. I've always said I would listen to a well-articulated speech before I'd go, you know, they burned that building down. I think I'll see things their way now. Oh, they threw tomato soup on the Mona Lisa. Wow, I'm going to sell my car today and ride a bike. It's like I've always said it even in business. You know, you see all these car dealerships with monstrous amounts of balloons out there, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't think once in my life have I ever said, wow, did you see their balloon display? Let's go buy a car. Is it welcoming? I guess, you know. So, empathy for shared values. Despite our difference, most Americans share core values, such as the belief in freedom, equality, and the pursuit of happiness. Wow, listen to that. Belief in freedom, equality, and a pursuit of happiness. I didn't say you could shove your narrative down my throat. Nope. But I will listen. I won't listen to screaming. I won't listen to being berated that, you know, about some sort of privilege. When I've worked for an incredibly diverse and incredibly well-qualified and group of folks that it was never, I never got a job because I'm a Caucasian male, ever. Nor was it ever, in fact, I lost jobs to folks that were deserving of the job more so than myself. Women, men, like I said, I've worked with people that are gay. I've worked for people that are gay. I've worked with people that are gay. I currently work with people that are gay. And the funny part of it is we don't, that never is part of our conversation, ever. Especially when we're doing things that are creative, it's about the art, it's about what we do, and it becomes, you know, we hug each other, we high-five each other, and it's never about, oh, I can't hug you, you're gay. I'm not gay, I'm not going to hug you. No, we hug each other because we create, and it's cool, and it's wonderful. I don't come into a meeting with a Bible and say, let me read a couple passages out of the Bible to you about your ideology. It's not my business. And so many people are sitting there going, you know, but now don't make it my business is the point. You know, if somebody came and twerked in front of my granddaughter that was a full-grown male man, I would have some problem with that. But all you have to do is pick them up and say, you know what, we're going to go do something different. Come on. Because in my mind, you got to leave the kids alone. Adults, things are for adult people, period. But if that goes on and that's the thing that's going on right at the wherever I am, fine, knock yourself out. We're just not going to be here. And that's how you solve that. Remove yourself from the situation. Because I'm not one to tell you that you can't do what you want to do. I just, you know, I will pick and choose what I want to do and leave you to it. You know, learning to get involved in grassroots things. Here's the thing that I think that if we, and again gets back to some of the things I said, if we took the brain power, is, you know, obviously the government can't fix homelessness. How many years have they had to do that? How much money have they sent to places where we could have fixed homelessness? We could have fixed health care. We could have fixed all these things. So that's what I'm saying is we can come together. We can do these things. We just choose not to, which is sad. I don't mean we as in me and you. I mean we as a country. You know, we've got government officials that, you know, the only thing they can do is enrich themselves. And if you don't believe me, look at their net worths. And you ask yourself, are they here for me and you, or are they here for themselves? Because all of them do it. Even if you look at, you know, so many people were proud that because AOC was from a diverse background and all these kind of things. Go look at her net worth now. And tell me she didn't get sucked into the swamp. So we don't have really a good thing. We're going to have to make good things. You and I. Because we all have to do something. You know, I catch myself really in my own life trying to do things that are, you know, helpful to the environment, helpful to, you know, others. You know, there's so many times where, you know, I gave money to a young girl the other day that was on the street and was trying to get to a shelter in San Antonio, and you know, I was able to help her with a little bit of money for her to be able to get a bus ticket and, you know, get herself to some safety. And she, I don't think she was more than 19 or 20 years old and on the street. And so I would, you know, there's a guy that I see going to my favorite ice cream house, and I see him out a lot, and I usually make sure that I have a little bit of cash to offer him, or I make sure that I've got some sort of, you know, something to give out. So it all begins with us. It all begins with, you know, we have to embrace each other. And you have to be open to hear other people's views and opinions. You know, I was watching something the other day where this young lady who was, and you could tell she was kind of at her wit's end about a job. You know, and I could feel that. I was like, damn, kid, you know, I wish I had a position to offer you, but I don't. And so anyway, you know, what kind of got me is, you know, she was talking about a dead name. And I was like, what the hell is a dead name? You know, I had to go look at it. I had to kind of research it a little bit to look it up, you know, and then the people that were interviewing her were misgendering her, and I was sitting there going, you're more worried about that than what was it in the interview process where maybe you could have done better. But she was more worried about the fact that they had misgendered her or were using her dead name. And I'm like, well, if it's, you put this dead name on your application or they're looking at your identification for their paperwork or whatever, how the hell is somebody going to know? And I don't mind calling you whatever you want to be called. You know, I don't, you know, if you want to be called a different name, cool. You know, how many, that's like not anything new. Movie stars don't use their normal names. Rock stars, some don't use their normal names. You know, Steve Schwartz is not a cool, it's a cool name, but not a cool name for a band, you know? So, you know, people do, and I get that. So that and that's it. I'm coming from that industry. So, you know, I get it. I don't mind calling you whatever you want to be called, you know, which is fine. And usually for me, I'm going to call you by your name, not necessarily by some sort of, you know, pronoun. I'm usually, you know, if your name is Alice, Hi, Alice, I'm Bob. Nice to meet you, you know, and make it a nice interaction. Hey, Steve, I'm Bob. Nice to meet you. You know, how you dress is something that's you. You know, if you come to a job interview and you're not dressed appropriately for the job, you know, that might be a problem. You know, you're still going to have to interact with the public. You're still going to have to interact with folks that they're not going to call you something they don't believe you are. So are you going to lose your shit and lose your job over that? And I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying sometimes we have to play the cards that are dealt us. Even when they're shitty cards. And I agree, you shouldn't hurt anybody. You know, you shouldn't. But you can't force your ideology on people that simply don't believe that way. And, you know, I'm not saying you can't be who you are, be who you are. Just don't expect everybody, if it's different from what societal norms have been, don't expect everybody to embrace it like it's some sort of wonderful new thing. A lot of people really super believe that, you know, gender dysphoria is a real problem. And I'm not saying that you can't be who you believe yourself to be, but be tolerant of people who aren't going to see things your way. Because here's the skinny. You don't have to hang out with those people. They don't have to be your buddy. They don't have to be your friend at all. So, you know, how does this affect us? Well, we have to learn to practice self-regulation. There's fights you fight, and then there's things where you just, you know, you pray for someone. You just say, you know, we can agree to disagree. If you get misgendered by a waitress or waiter, don't go back to that restaurant. But have a compelling story that helps people who may seem ignorant to your plight, and have a story that, you know, here's where I am in my life. Who knows how many hugs you'd get, or how many, wow, that makes sense to me, I understand. And you're gonna have people that simply feel like you need mental help. In some days, we all need mental help. Sorry. You know, you're not exclusive, and that's not a thing that I would say is a bad thing. It's just, you know, but there's ways to just simply not get in a situation that's going to bring down your joy, your happiness. You know, hanging around people, it goes back to, you know, when you walk in a room, if you're not, you know, and everybody in the room smarter than you're in the wrong room. You know, sometimes you have to be around people that are uplifting and those type of things that are going to help you live a happy, productive life. But at the end of the day, really, a happy, productive life is your choice. It is absolutely your choice. You know, and it's hard because I see, you know, it's hard because I see so much hate and so much just negative shit, man. You know, it's like, why do we, you know, you look at the way the legal system is, the way that people are treated in the legal process, and all of these things. It's just a horrid, horrid, horrid mess. And it's easy for us to fall into that trap of, oh my God, the world's coming to an end, and you just lose all your hope and all the things that you should be celebrating your life about. You know, it's like I put in the article, celebrate diversity, embrace our nation's richness and diversity as a strength rather than a weakness. seek opportunities to learn about and appreciate different groups, unique cultures, traditions, and experiences. You know, it's amazing to me that when you do get into, and I'm in South Texas, so obviously the Hispanic population here is quite large. And when I learn about traditions and values and things that, and I listen to my friends tell me stories about growing up in Mexico or Honduras or Colombia or other places that are Spanish-speaking countries, and you learn about the diversity of them, and it's cool. You know, I have some friends that are in Dallas that are from Iran, and I've always enjoyed, you know, they teach me, especially, you know, when we all go eat, because we're all big boys, so we all go eat together, and they teach me, you know, to be a Mediterranean foodie, I guess. Same thing with my Indian friends, you know. I always said that, you know, it was funny once, because I used to go to, and not as a regular member, but I used to go to a lot of events at the Hindu temple in Dallas and see different gurus and different spiritual people and things like that. And because I that's one of the things that I do in my work and research is I'm always about, you know, learning Native American traditions, Indian spiritual traditions, Muslim traditions, the Quran, the things that Islam stands for. And, you know, I watched a documentary called Mystic Iran, and it was so good. It just, you know, the dervish practice and all these things, it was just really cool. And to tell a little story, I went to see a spiritual guru that had come to the Hindu temple in Dallas, and I'll fast forward to my friend Jasmine and I getting there, and we're going to see the guru, and I won't even try to pronounce his name because it's hugely long and very hard to pronounce. But anyway, we were standing in, and they had all the areas where the Hindu gods had I don't know if I'm using the right phrase, but I think it's a puja, that where there's a anyway, and if I butchered that, please, I mean no offense. It's but because it was beautiful, and we were in this room where all the different Hindu gods were being recognized there, and I was like, you know, this is so beautiful. Anyway, the guru that was coming was a little bit late, so he was walking through, and so we were standing there, and we were talking to these other ladies who were welcoming us. And we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, these ladies, kind of their eyes lit up, and the guy that was a guru was right behind us. And they lit up. You know how how you can see a child's face light up? Well, this is kind of that same experience. And they were smiling, and they started pointing at our hands. And Jasmine and I were sitting there, and you could physically see our hands and bodies vibrating. It was arguably one of the most profound spiritual experiences I've ever had, because nothing like that, like that's even similar to that, has happened to me in my spiritual journey. And it was really, really cool, you know. And these ladies were, you know, just, they were touching on us and loving on us, and it was just, I mean, how cool is that? How cool could we come together in that moment, you know? And Jasmine was Indian. She was my very dear friend. I loved her to death. We were very good friends during this time. And we did a lot of things together that, you know, especially in our spiritual journey. And it was cool. And I enjoyed it very much. I miss her. And anyway, that those type of things just prove that, you know, when you open your heart, you can find peace. You can find comfort together. And so, you know, that's the thing is, you know, if you're struggling, you know, I always go, you know, and I always go to some different places, you know. I may go to a Hindu temple. I may go to a mosque. I may go, you know, wherever and ask questions. You know, I'm seeking truth. Gandhi said it best when he talked about, you know, as a child, the temple that he went to, he said that the minister, pastor, reverend, whatever, you know, would, when he would speak, he would speak from the Quran and he would speak from the Bhagavad Gita, one to the other, because the most important thing is that they were there worshiping God. Didn't matter, they were there worshiping God. Say what you want about whatever, but the folks in that temple were there worshiping God, which is really, I found that incredibly thought-provoking. And both have beautiful words, and both have, if you've never looked at the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran, I would highly recommend just getting an English interpretation and just walking through it, because it has the same beautiful words as a Bible or any other spiritual text. So, you know, and there's a lot of ways that we can embrace each other other than, you know, screaming at one another, which, you know, that's just never gonna work, you know. I don't hate you, don't hate me because I'm this or that. I won't hate you because you're who you wanna be. But we can find a way to live in peace. What happens is I think we've gotten away from, you know, well, at this point we can agree to disagree. Hug each other and move on down the road. Because it's, you know, the one thing about the world we live in is we're all here. So we going to have to figure out a way to live together. Because we're all here. We ain't going nowhere. Unless we fight to the point where someone does something stupid and pushes a button. Then guess what? Here's the skinny. If they shoot first, our systems will automatically respond in kind. If we shoot first, their systems will automatically respond in kind. So we've made it, got it to a point, and ask yourself the absolute lunacy of this, is we've got ourselves to a point that, well, if one of us can't be here, none of us are going to be here. And we got ourselves to a point, and we've allowed it where it's like we've made it where we can, you know, our one of our greatest achievements in nuclear science is that we can absolutely destroy the world and all that lives and breathes in it. Explain to me how the fuck any of that makes sense. So we need to learn to live together. because you sure don't want somebody going, well, you know, the response, sir, is that we need to, you know, fire our nuclear weapons. Or fire a nuclear weapon. Japan teaches nothing. So you kind of have to sit there and go, well, you know, we could do some pretty dangerous shit, sadly. And what does this have to do with you and me? Well, it could easily get us to a point where we just focus on nothing but negative all the time. And in doing so, what does that do to us as a human being? What does that do to your who you are? Well, it screws it up, to say the very least. It gets you in a place where, you know, that negative energy is what's coming out. And that's what you're going to receive, is negative energy. You got to learn to not lose your mind over something that, honestly, you see, like, you see these women screaming and you know, all of this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, but you're still here breathing. You're still here. The world didn't blow up. So make it better. Write books. Do a podcast. Help people to understand your point of view. Start a nonprofit. Help people understand and want to embrace your view. Where you find somebody that says, you know what, I don't 100% agree with you, but you know what, I want to help. What the hell's wrong with that? Nothing. So, you know, it can be a wonderful thing that you bring to this life versus a shitty thing. So my point is, stop. If you're losing your noodle and losing your mind and you think that everything, you know, the world sucks and people are horrid because they, you know, misgender you or, you know, whatever the case may be, is, again, we get dealt cards that there is absolutely nothing, you know, if you got misgendered and I was completely 110% on your side, I still can't help you. You know, there's really nothing, I can't change someone's beliefs. But what we can change is our level of tolerance. And sometimes you have to be the bigger person and surround yourself with folks that make you happy. Be in a space where you feel comfortable, where you feel happy. You know, it's like I said, most of this stuff is all up to us to do, no matter what our unique differences are in our ideologies. We still have to be us. So, like, I just feel like that we're just so getting so far apart from each other, and I think that, you know, I'm all about things that are in my work that help people understand, you know, different perspectives in life as far as making a better life for yourself. And so, it's important to see everything in life as an opportunity to learn. Again, something that we don't have to agree. Like I said, I have gay friends, but I'm not a gay person. But I love the friends that I have, and they are my friends. And like I said, we don't look at each other from that perspective. My closest and dearest friend in the world, his name is Dennis, and we are good friends. And he's a black man, I'm a white man. And we've known each other for 25 years, and not one time, not one stinking time have we ever looked at each other in any other way than friends. And we said that to each other one time. We were, I don't know, there was something came up on the computer screen, and this was coming from Dennis. He goes, I don't know, I don't understand. You know, and it was something that had to do with African American folks. And he said, you know, he looked at me and he goes, Bob, I've never looked at you as a white man. And he said, I believe in my heart you've never looked at me any other way than your friend. And I said, that's because you are my friend. And that's the only way I look at Dennis, you know, is we are friends and we treat each other with the same level of respect, the same happiness, the same everything. And we don't, we just don't get lost in all the chaos. Well, I've gone a long time here. I'm gonna take a quick break and we'll come back in just a couple seconds and finish up the show. Hey, I'm back. Thanks for your patience. And it probably in the editing was really fast, the deal, but I did take a short break and enjoyed a bottled water and a good cough so I don't cough in your ear. So anyway, you know, it's really up to you to have joy and peace in your life. I've learned that. It's up to me. I can't get, you know, a significant other's not the answer to a joyful life. The government, the society, my friends, nothing is going to give you a a life that you are happy with. Only you can create happiness in your own life. And that means sometimes we have to play the cards that are dealt us. You know, sometimes we have to work within a system that sucks tremendously. You know, I just saw a thing where the Speaker of the House, Johnson, is going to work through another $65 billion to go to Ukraine when 70% of Americans polled don't want us involved. Putin told Tucker Carlson that he'd go to the table. Why are these people not, you know? And that gets me back to what we have control over. So here's the skinny. You know, if that really bothers you, write about it. Share those thoughts. Find like-minded people and share those thoughts. But have a very calm, cool, and collected, articulable way to present your facts. Because if you want, you know, I wouldn't even want to be on an airplane on a layover in Baltimore Airport. I don't want to be anywhere close to Washington, D.C., because the if your phone pings in those areas and there's something bad going on, you know, expect a knock on your door. And that's some scary shit. So I won't be visiting or going to see our nation's capital. Right now, no way. You couldn't. There's just, even if I got a free trip, somebody called me and said, hey, we want you to come up and do a story. And you, fuck you. No. Pass. Not gonna do it, you know, as George Bush used to say. It's just, it's, no, not even close. And it's sad to be afraid to go to the nation's capital. All because if some weird shit did go on and your phone got pinged, guess, you know, they're going to come knocking at your door. They're still doing it today from January 6th. People who were just there. You know, they didn't go into anything. They didn't do anything. They were just there. So, pass. Not going to do it. So, that's how I handle, you know, playing the cards that were dealt, is I'm just not going to engage. Just, you know, I would rather write about it, share thoughts about it. But I want to share things that bring us together as a nation, not things that divide us. And again, we, like I've said, and I don't want to just keep droning on about it, but, you know, we can live in a diverse world. We're all here on the same planet. Why can't we learn to live together? You know, it's almost like a brother and sister in the backseat of the car. He touched me. She won't stop. Make her move over. The center of the, remember how your mother or your grandmother used to say, the center of the seat, you don't go past it, you don't go past it, you know? And it really kind of comes down to that. It's, you know, but if we embrace the good, you know, and we spread that, I can't help but imagine that if that was able to catch fire, in a sense, that, you know, people would listen. I wanted to do a documentary, and I've told this story a couple times, that before COVID, we had put together, we had pre-produced a documentary. Didn't really even have a working title for it, but what we were going to do is travel to, we were going to sail some in the Caribbean and sail from one island to another and meet local folks and talk about what they talk about. Go to coffee shops, go to breakfast places where locals are there just chilling, talking, you know, what are we, what's important to you? What's, you know, and show the world that I think most folks are, pretty much care about their health, their family, their children, and that they have a life to be the person that they want to be with some freedom. You know, I think there's some basic things that make us all the same. You know, I can't, it's like, it, you know, it's like I've again, you know, and I use these analogies because I want to get them out there, is, you know, if you took two mothers from two warring nations and you sat them in a room and you said, there is 100% chance that both of your children are not coming home from this conflict. You're going to have to give a child because there is 100% chance that they are not coming home from this conflict. These are the issues at hand. This is what we're at war for. Fix it. You gonna tell me two mamas from, I don't care where, but two mothers couldn't come together and figure it out? I'd sure as hell trust two moms over what we have to fix an issue. because they're going to get right down to the crux of it. Whereas everyone else that's involved in that is like, well, you know, from they look back at this historical bullshit and all this stuff. No, we're here today. We're not here 400 fucking years ago. We're here today. How can we make it livable today? Yes, there are, you know, history is filled with atrocities, filled with them. Are we going to live in that shit for the rest of our lives? Or are we going to say, okay, all right, I'm not acknowledging that there are atrocities that have happened in life that are totally inexcusable. Agreed. Totally agree. However, do our children who have to go and fight these wars and fight these skirmishes and lose their lives, patriotic as that is, it's fucked up. It's I don't want to see another child. I don't care. And I call them children because 18, 19, 20 year old kids don't need to die. They don't. I don't want to send my sons to, and I've got a young son that I worry about that, not that far away from being 18, and I don't want him to get drafted into some fucking war he didn't have any part of. It's like the draft, you know, especially during the Korean War. To me, that, your number gets called and you have to go. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. Doesn't it make you wonder that if a government had to have a draft, that the buy-in for the reason ain't there? Because people aren't saying, you know, I'm going to fight for my country. You know, if people were invading our shores, I think everybody would pick up an arm and defend this country to the death. But when you're having to fly halfway across a world to support someone's ideology that will never set foot on that battleground or on the field, and your sons and daughters are having to go, yeah, that's fucked up. That's why we have to stop the shit. Stop, you know, and that's why I'm saying, you know, if we can figure out a way to find happiness, to find peace, is not a naivete thing to say. Shouldn't be. It's not. I understand that there's a lot of ideology that you know. It's like I learned something yesterday that I really didn't know about Islamic people and the Islamic faith. And I was like, you know, that, and it meant something to me. Like, I was like, I was thinking that, you know, but it's not about the individual. It's about the people. That even though there are some Islamic people that are warring amongst each other, for example, or warring with other people that maybe as a Muslim you don't agree with, but what I understand, and I hope that I'm getting this right, is that the Quran teaches that you know, you're a nation, and that you don't speak against Islam brothers and sisters. If I got that right. But it was that, you know, it kind of, you know, and I'm sitting here going, because people aren't speaking up and all that kind of stuff, but I was thinking, you know, why didn't I know that? Because that kind of makes, you know, when you don't hear people speaking out, and that goes back to that old, what's the backstory? Why? There has to be a backstory, and there's a backstory to everything. And that's where critical thinking comes in. And that's what we've been talking about in the show, is you've got to think on your own. You have to learn, you know. There's always a backstory to every damn thing. There's a backstory. There's a reason. Didn't just fall off the tree and hit you in the head. There was a reason it did. Find out what that reason is, and it might clarify a whole lot of shit for you, you know. I have lots and lots and lots of friends that are Muslim and practicing the Islamic faith. And I've read, like I said earlier in the show, I've read, you know, not all, but some of the Quran that I've had the opportunity to read different things from it. Because that's part of my, what I do is spiritual research. You know, I read the Yoga Sutras, a lot of things to understand it, that, because it fascinates me. I learn about the Apache Indians, the Hopi Indians. In fact, I'm working on a documentary that I'm hoping that they're going to work with us on. We're still going back and forth with these folks because, you know why? Because they've been screwed so many times, and I don't blame them, that they're gun-shy from everything. And I don't blame them. That's why I don't get frustrated or angry. I always tell the folks in the cultural center, I say, you know, I completely understand. Because I agree. 1,000%. So basically what I do is I work diligently to get a relationship going. Build that trust. Yeah, I wanted to shoot the film last year. But it's not going to work out that way. But the story that we're trying to tell doesn't work without them. And I've explained that to them. I said the story and what I've offered, you know, and I'm not, you know, is, and this comes down to what we have to do in order to try to develop a relationship with each other where there's no trust is, you know, I offered them what is called final cut. I said, you get to look at the final cut of the movie. If you don't like it, it doesn't see a screen, period. And I will contractually give that to you until we have, and I would have shown it to them well in advance of us ever even getting to that point. You know, they're going to see, not only are they going to see dailies, but they're going to see the, you know, down when we get down to final edits and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, I told them, I said, I want to tell your story. I want you to tell it. I don't want to tell your story. I want you to tell it. I want you to talk about your history. And I want that to come out unedited. I don't want to go in and short cut a video or do anything. I want it to be 1,000% your words, your knowledge, and your history. Period. But for so many decades, if you will, these people get screwed. Hard. Government's trying to get the water, oil, and all other kind of shit off the reservation. If you go back and look in history, you know, what happened to them was pretty brutal. But we're not talking about the brutality of who they are, of what has happened to them. We are talking about them as a people. As a spiritual being. I'm not talking about cowboys and Indians. I'm talking about a people and their spiritual beliefs and what God, what the earth, what Mother Earth and everything means to them. And I want to do it in a respectful way. And we're going to go down, you know, once that one's done, we're with the same group, We're going to Mexico, then we're going to Peru, and we're going to visit some other places and talk about spiritual beings. What makes us think the way that we do? And then I want to really go to, and touch many. I want to go to India. I would like to go to places in the Middle East. I have friends that I work with in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. So, again, it's learning to work within the systems that we have, learning to work in diverse cultures that, may completely be differing from ours. And it's like me and talking with the Hopi Indians is, it's not me that they're pissed at. It's not me personally, but it's basically boils down to, a government issue. They don't trust anybody. People try to come in there and exploit them and take advantage of them all the time. Because people think they can, and that's a, even a different story than what I'm probably gonna tell. But I want it to be their story, not my story. I don't want to write their history. I wouldn't presume. So, it occurs to me that if you have, if you have a really strong, and maybe I just haven't seen it, I think there's probably some out there. And quite honestly, I've been very busy and not really looking at it. But if you have a, if you're protesting a certain thing, think about doing a documentary. Hell, pitch it to me. I might do it. May not, but I might. Who knows? But I'd listen and I'd hear you out. Now, whether we came together and were able to do it together or not, that's, And again, I can tell you this, do it on your own. If you don't think you can get anybody to help you, do it on your own. Everything that Tim Cook, when he does things at Apple and does big shows, all of that stuff is shot on an iPhone. All those cool, absolutely badass moments that he does on screen and switching, all was done on an iPhone and Final Cut software, which is something that's available on a Mac, or you can get it for a Mac. Uses nothing but Apple products and uses an iPhone. So, there's not an excuse, is what I'm saying. You can use your damn phone. You can even use your Samsung phone. You don't have to have fancy cameras, fancy lights. You don't have to have fancy nothing. Shoot it and get it out there. Just like writing a book. Write it, get it out there. You don't got to have a bunch of fancy shit. You do need to go in and make sure you don't have a ton of grammatical errors. You need to get somebody to write it or read it and make sure they don't, that it flows in some sense of the word. But write it. If you need some research, call me, dude, or reach out. I will happily, I don't care what you're going to write about as long as it's not hurting somebody. If you're not hurting anybody, then I'll help you. And I'll share free resources with you that you can use to send out your message. I shot some pictures for some people not long ago that, I didn't charge them for it. They didn't have the budget for it, but I shot them. Helped. Everybody knows somebody that takes good pictures. Everybody knows somebody that shoots videos all the time. Get together and do something. and tell your story your way. Tell your story so readers can go, damn, I didn't think of that. I didn't think of it that way. You know, just like walking in and standing tall before your mom. Explain yourself. Well, that's what you have to do. Explain yourself. Because when you've told a story and you've explained it well, you know, how many times have you gone in and told your mom what happened, and the next thing you know, she's putting her hair in a ponytail and ready to go kick somebody's ass, you know? Because your story, the way that you told her what happened, she 110% believed in you. So, you know, that these are things that you know, with some thought, critical thinking, and really just kind of putting your mind to it, you know, we can be better people. We can be kind. We can be happy. We don't have to live in this gigantic pile of shit. And we can work with the cards that are dealt us. So how many of you, I mean, you may be in a job, you know, where you're working for somebody you don't like, but you play the cards that you have until something different or better comes along. So you have that. Well, I've kind of gone on here a little bit longer than I wanted to, but, you know, I really want to talk about things, and we're going to talk about things. We're kind of changing gears. We're going to talk about things that you know, make us happy, and the things that bring us together, not divide us. You know, and it all starts with, you know, hi, I'm Bob, and I extend out a hand in friendship. And you in kind return the same. So think about that with your friends. You know, don't go burn shit down. Doesn't solve a damn thing. What does solve something is getting people to see things your way. Getting them to open your eyes. And you can do that via writing, and you can do that as a filmmaker. You can tell the stories. Go back and look at, and I'm going to leave it here, go back and look at some of the greatest war photojournalists of our day. Gellhorn, why am I missing up here? I'll think of it in a minute, but she wrote for Collier's Magazine back in the 20s, I guess. And Ernest Hemingway's wife and a longtime girlfriend. And or watch the movie Gellhorn and Hemingway. But if you look at, you know, and then look at Vietnam War correspondents and other war correspondents, who the picture says everything. There's really nothing that more to be said. So you can tell a story visually that tells the story, that gets people to say, wait a minute, this war sucks, because it becomes real and it becomes human at that point. And that's where your power lies. That's where you can make a difference in this world. It's what I'm trying to do. It's what you can do. And if we all come together in that way, to be okay with each other, I think we'll be okay. If you like our show, and if you please subscribe, I hope that you do. And I, for all the subscribers we do have, God bless you and thank you. If you can financially support the show, there are ways for you to do that on the channel. And you can also goodness, go on my link in bio. And sorry, my dog Glitzy came over and she was looking at me with this sweet face, and I know what she wants to do. And so I'm sitting here going, okay, give me just a second. And but anyway, follow the link in our bio and it will take you where you can get to my Amazon book page. My author page is on Amazon and all my books are there. And what else can I tell you? Oh, there's you can follow us on social media and see what we do on and on my own website. I write articles just about every day. We're on Medium, which you can get to and see the article, my articles on Medium and on my website. You can see our news channels and all those cool things, all from one simple, easy place, and that's my link tree, which is in the bio. So thank you, and God bless, and I hope you had a lovely Easter weekend. I know I did, and I appreciate you tuning in today. And I hope that this April is as badass as you want it to be. So, having said all that, this is the Flight Risk Studio Podcast Show, and I'm Robert Bruton. Bye for now.